Talking Automotive for VACC. You're in good hands.
And if you have a question, anything to do with motoring, any maybe to do with your everyday drive or to do with your servicing or anything to do with things automotive, the CEO of the Victorian Automobile Chamber of Commerce is Jeff Gwillim. Jeff, good evening.
Good evening, Dennis.
Jeff, there will be people who have been planning for that summer trip, hoping they're able to take it, which is all looking fine at the minute. It might be down the coast to Gippsland, it could be down the Great Ocean Road or wherever, but there would be a lot of vehicles that have been sitting largely unused for 8 months.
Well, there is, Dennis, and it's interesting. We get very used to modern cars being very good. They are. It's very hard to buy a bad car nowadays. And sometimes I think we become over-reliant on the systems, and I think we might just hope that everything's okay. What I want to go through very quickly, Dennis, is the top 10 things that actually stop people going on holiday or stop them halfway on the holiday, which is always worse. And the top of the league list here, Dennis, is the battery. Now, it's interesting. You know, we know that batteries don't last forever. We feel them wearing down. You know that the car's taking a bit longer to start, and we're hoping it's going to get better. But I have to tell people, batteries that are starting to wear down and actually won't recover, you have to bite the bullet and go and get that battery checked. Particularly, Dennis, if you're just making short trips all the time, you're not generating enough power to actually get that battery back up on full charge. So the alternator's working away, but if you're just nipping down to the shops and back or doing 2 or 3 kilometre trips, you're not going to get enough running of that alternator to fire that battery up properly and to recharge it. And if you're doing short trips at night, it's even worse. You've got the lights on, you've got the radio on, you're drawing battery out of that,
Of
the battery and out of the alternator.
You should always have the radio on between 8 and midnight.
Apart from that, of course, you'll need it, just leave it on there. So batteries are critical. Often we know they're on the way out. We don't do anything about them. We go on holiday. The temperature drops a bit. The car won't start. And you're going to have to get a mechanic to come out to the car. 10% of...
Yes.
Sorry, Dennis. Go ahead, mate.
So, Jeff, good evening to you.
Oh, good day, Dennis. Yes. And Jeff, when you're talking about batteries and cars, guys, just another story. I picked my caravan up today to go away this weekend out of storage where I haven't seen it for a good 6 months. And opened the front boot and it had this terrible smell, and it was the battery obviously cooking. It was red hot, and I'm putting it down to the fact that the solar panel must have played up or something like that, and it's been pumping the voltage into it. But I thank my lucky stars that it didn't stay in storage any longer, you know what I mean? Because I've disconnected everything, and I'll get someone who knows how to fix it tomorrow. But
would have been a fire.
Well, it could well have been, Dennis, because sitting there in the middle of a storage yard, for no one to see or no one to hear type of thing for that amount of time. But, you certainly got to be on top of these things, and it's scary, I must say.
That's exactly what we're talking about, Jeff.
Yeah, that's a real problem. And auto-elect, you need to get it to an auto-elect because often, obviously, that charge is going straight through and you're over-pumping the battery. So I get an auto-elect to look at that. Just on that, though, and on caravans, one of the major issues we see in the industry, Dennis, is people buy a caravan, they buy a four-wheel drive or something to tow it, they look at the towing weight of the vehicle, they look at the van, then they go home, and just before they go on holiday, they put half a ton of stuff in the back of the van. The rating on that vehicle is now, that is past the rating for towing that vehicle, and it's quite possible that the van is unstable. So, you know, I urge people when they go and buy caravans, make sure that they allow putting all of that other stuff in there when they buy all the add-ons and they put the bags and they put all that stuff in the back of the van. They've got to make sure that it's still within the rating of that vehicle.
How do they do that? Do they need to go to a weighing station or how do they do that?
Well, when they buy the van in the first place, they've already got their vehicle. They know what the rating is and they know what the rating of the van is. I think what people tend to do then is they want to max it out. So they want the biggest possible van they can get in the most moderate vehicle. And I think people, to be honest with you, Dennis, they know that they're right on the edge and they know that if they keep putting stuff in that van, that is over. You can take it to a weighbridge. You can get it weighed, you know, with the van attached, which is a combination of the vehicle and the van. But I've got a funny feeling, Dennis, when people buy a van, they know what the rating is and they just keep putting that stuff in that van. And it not only is the weight a problem, because when you put your foot on the brake, if you've got too much weight pushing your vehicle forward, you're not going to be able to control it. Before you know it, the van's overtaking the car, and you're going to get into all sorts of trouble.
Oh, and, you know, if you're in a windy situation, you know, with extra weight hanging off the back, not a good thing.
Yeah, look, it's not a good thing, Dennis. I mean, the whole caravan movement in Australia is huge, and it's a fantastic thing. It runs a lot of businesses, particularly up here on the Sydney Road. We've built a lot of caravans there for the rest of Australia. But, again, people just need to be careful. They're not trying to underrate the vehicle and overrate the van in terms of the size and the weight of that van. And Dennis, 10% of vehicles that break down, by the way, or can't be started on the side of the road, are because somebody's lost the keys. And people don't realise that you actually need to... people have actually... So they've gone for a walk, they've gone to do something, they've come back, the keys aren't there. They've lost the keys. And you need, you know, some people again today, the modern cars, they think, well, I've lost a set of keys, but I'm going to rely on this one key. And I'm telling you now, getting a car towed, normally back to a dealership to get keys recoded, is an expensive activity.
Very
and we
expensive.
Really urge against it. Mm.
Jeff Gwillim is with me. Steve, good evening to you.
Good evening, Dennis and Jeff. Jeff, you'll know exactly where I'm coming from with this. I used to live up in northern Victoria, and I used to sell car batteries just part-time, actually. And come Boxing Day, I used to really load up a lot of the dealers along the Murray River, especially if we were going to get a day above 36 degrees or 40 degrees. People would leave Melbourne with their boats or their caravans, and they'd get up there, and you know what had happened, don't you?
Yep.
With the charging, absolutely cooking.
Yeah.
I used to sell so many batteries, it was fantastic.
Yeah, well,
right, so it was good for business.
Oh, very good, actually, yes.
Yeah. Steve, the other thing is interesting, you know, about people going on holiday, and one of the things I've seen a lot of recently, Dennis and Steve, this is really important, what we call chopped out inside rims of wheels and tyres. So where people are driving cars and the front end hasn't been aligned for years, and what's happening is the tyre is wearing like hell on the inside of the vehicle. You can't see it from the outside of the vehicle unless you get under the car or you turn the steering, you know, severely over to one angle. But the problem is when you slam the brakes on, you've only got half that tread left on that tyre. So even though when people look at treads on tyres, you know, and the old 2 millimetre rule still persists, but, you know, they've got these little bumps between the tread now, mm-hmm. so you can see when you're down too low. If you don't look across the whole width of the tyre, you might get into real trouble, and I'm frightened by the photographs that go up on... There's a whole lot of websites for automotive people that where you can have a look at the what's happening in the industry.
Yeah.
The brake jobs and the insides of these tyres that are rubbed right out, really, really critical, and safety critical, Dennis, and people have got to get mechanics to look at this stuff.
My word, they do. Back shortly with Jeff Gwillim from the VACC. And a bit of a shout-out right now to Roland. He is the son of people that I know, performers that I know, and he's broken his collarbone. Roland, quick recovery to you. Angie is speaking with Jeff Gwillim from the VACC.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Dennis. I wanted to find out, when people trade in their cars, I've got two cars. Can I trade two cars in?
Why not?
Sure. If the dealer wants to do a rolled-up price on two cars, not a problem.
Yeah, no problem. Also, if I wanted to sell my car to someone off the street, should I have a roadworthy or can you sell it without it? What would be better? What do you reckon?
You can sell it without it, but I wouldn't recommend it, Angie. I think that you to put your hand on your heart knowing that you're passing on a vehicle to another person, I would get it roadworthy. But you can sell it without a roadworthy and look on the Vic Roads website about how you do that. But personally, what would worry me is the person that would buy it from you is probably going to tell you all sorts of things about what they're going to do with it. But if they get in that car and start driving around, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where something you may have overlooked then causes an accident. So I think there's more of a moral question there, Angie. And you get more money for it if it's roadworthy anyway.
Good on you, Angie. Thank you. Yes, you've got to sell and keep your conscience clear. Jeff Gwillim, thank you.
Rugby League's newest team is here, the Coolangatta Koalas.
But before they can join the comp that we can't legally name,
Coach Wendell Saylor must get the Koalas up to scratch.
Does anyone know how to give a post-match interview?
I do, Del.
Congratulations, tough game tonight.
Yeah, it was. But despite a dazzling display of on-field proficiency from our opponents, I reckon the Koalas competently executed a preconceived strategy that earned an equitable victory.
Well, that's different. I like it. Okay, Koalas, time to practice our team song. 1, 2, 3, 4.
We are Koalas, live off our mums. We got 4 toes and opposable thumbs.
Oh, beautiful. Brings a tear to my eye. We still need to find home ground or we'll be disqualified.
Del, did you say disqualified?
Stop it, guys.
Is it because we don't have the right qualifications?
Seriously, I can't bear it anymore.
Oh, good one, Del.
Follow the Koala's journey at wwos.9.com.au/koala.